Hello, everyone, and welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So perhaps the most important macro event over the past few days in Europe was the decision of the Constitutional Court in Germany to declare a repurposing of a pandemic-related relief fund as unconstitutional. The implications of these rulings still have to be fully understood, but we shall talk about it next week with Lars Feld, who is a close advisor to the German finance minister. Today, we would like to look at another important topic, namely the euro area labor market, in particular, its remarkable strength. We want to shed light on what might explain the astonishing robustness of the labor market in Europe, despite all the adverse shock that have hit the euro area economy. And as part of this, we shall also discuss the risks of a sudden downward adjustment in euro area employment. This is, of course, something that would yet be another untimely shock for the euro area.
And indeed, we had enough of these. But let's start with a pandemic, which had, of course, a profound effect on the euro area economy and the labor market in the euro area. So the share of employed persons in the labor force declined from the first quarter of 2020, when the pandemic hit, until the first quarter of 2021 by 1.4%, that is by some 2.2 million jobs. And as a result, the unemployment rate rose from 7.2% in March 2020 to 8.2% in the first quarter of 2021. And the deterioration of the labor market, however, proved to be only short-lived and the overall surprisingly moderate, given the importance of the pandemic shock, or given the depth, actually, of the recession that was triggered by the pandemic. The unemployment rate was back to 7.2% already by October 2021, which was the low reached just prior to the pandemic. Employment was also back to its pre-pandemic level by the summer of 2021.
Yeah, that was a remarkable recovery of euro area employment. And the surprising thing is that the labor market kept improving further, with employment steadily increasing. In fact, employment reached its highest level ever in the euro area, with around 170 million people employed in the third quarter of 2023. And the unemployment rate also reached a new record low in 2023. It reached 6.4% in May of 2023 and has ever since been oscillating only minimally above this level. What makes this strength of the labor market following the the pandemic recovery quite spectacular, but also somewhat puzzling, is the fact that it happened against the backdrop of a rather weak development in GDP. It is true that the level of economic activity recovered rather quickly from the pandemic drop. The euro area reached its pre-pandemic activity level already in the third quarter of 2021. But since the third quarter of 2021, the economy has been growing only weakly. And in fact, it has stagnated in real terms over the past four quarters. And this is usually not a situation where one would expect to see strong employment numbers.
Yeah, this disconnect between employment and economic growth is unusual. In fact, the labor market is, in normal times, a lagging indicator in the cycle, meaning it will only start improving once economic growth has reached a certain minimum level, i.e. the so-called employment threshold of growth. In addition, the economy tends to grow on average stronger than employment. From 2000 until the pandemic, average quarterly annual growth of GDP stood at 1.3% compared with 1.7% for employment over the same period.
No, it was 0.7%, Dirk, I think.
Oh, sorry, did I say 7%? That would have been even more spectacular. Yeah. The reason behind the gap, so the only 0.7%, is simply the fact that productivity generally also increases. So as workers become more productive, the same amount of labor input, people employed, will create more and more units of GDP.
Yeah, so usually GDP grows faster than employment, but this relationship has somehow reversed since the end of 2021. GDP has since then grown at 2.9% until the middle of this year, while employment has grown by more, namely 3.1%. And this reversed situation holds not only when one looks at employment, but also when one looks at hours worked. Total hours worked have increased by 3.3% since the end of 2021, which is even more than the 3.1% increase that we see in employment. And one consequence of this strong employment growth with relatively weak GDP growth in comparison is that labor productivity, that is output per hour worked, has been gradually falling over the past 2 years. In fact, it has been declining since the outbreak of the pandemic, but the wild swings in GDP during the early part of the pandemic make it somewhat difficult to interpret this as being part of an even longer trend.
So why is then employment so much higher than the level of GDP would suggest? Why do companies need more workers to produce the same level of GDP than in the past? Part of the answer to these questions might be related to the pandemic. As economic activity plunged in the early part of the pandemic, governments across Europe introduced wide-ranging employment schemes to incentivize companies not to lay off workers, understandably so, given the overall uncertainty. And this can explain why unemployment was initially stable despite the deep recession caused by the pandemic in 2020. But as the economy recovered, these schemes were generally cut back. So this cannot explain why companies continue to hold on to their employees.
Yeah, so one possible explanation for the continuing high number of people employed could be that these people now work less, partly maybe due to part-time work schemes. They found out life is short and they should perhaps focus on other things during the pandemic. And such a shift towards part-time work could explain why more workers are employed to produce the same GDP. Unfortunately, we do not have good real-time indicators on part-time work in the euro area. Yet this explanation, as attractive as it may sound, does not square well with the fact that the total number of hours worked increased even more than the number of people employed following the pandemic. It is thus unlikely that the rising share of part-time employment can account for the high level of employment in the euro area that we currently see.
Another alternative explanation for the disconnect between employment and economic activity is that big sectoral shifts might have taken place due to the pandemic. If employees had moved from high productivity sectors to low productivity sectors in a significant way, we would expect GDP growth to slow relative to a situation where the sectoral distribution of employment would have remained broadly unchanged.
Yet this potential explanation also runs into difficulties. The only sector where we can see a significant acceleration in employment growth after the pandemic is the information and communication sector. Most sectors have seen employment growth more or less in line with their respective long-term trends. Also, the overall changes in sectoral employment shares are quantitatively quite small, at least when looking at rather short time spans, such as the past 2 years. The ICT sector, for instance, increased its employment share by 0.5 percentage point, while manufacturing and the sector called wholesale, trade, and travel decreased their shares by 0.5 percentage point. Overall, these changes appear insufficiently large to be able to explain the productivity stagnation that we have seen over the past 2 years.
So that then leaves so-called labor hoarding as the remaining possible explanation. The hypothesis here is that companies hold on to their employees despite a relative low level of economic activity because they expect the economy to eventually return to its old growth path. Since firing and rehiring is expensive, and the labor market currently relatively tight, companies might find it optimal to not adjust employment downward, even if they're facing a low level of demand relative to their productive capacity. The challenging demographic outlook for the euro area, which features a shrinking labor force, may provide an additional incentive for such labor hoarding.
But of course, labor hoarding can, to some extent, be a self-fulfilling proposition. If everyone hoards labor, then the labor market is going to be tight, and this may in turn rationalize to hoard labor. Yet it also implies that the situation can reverse, and potentially quickly so. Once firms stopped believing in the pre-pandemic growth trend, they start firing people or hiring fewer, which in turn makes the labor market less tight, and thus may trigger further firing, as firms may associate a less tight labor market with better prospects to rehire in the future if needed. And in fact, there are some tentative signs emerging that the labor market is turning around now. For one, the unemployment rate has stopped declining and has been broadly stable for 2 quarters. Then the high number of vacancies that we have seen over the past has also started to decline. And companies are now reporting that finding workers is less of a problem than it was previously. And finally, the Employment Outlook Index of the Composite Purchasing Manager Index is now showing a rather steep decline. Based on past correlations, this should translate into a sharp deceleration of job growth. The previous level of the employment outlook was consistent with about 0.5% quarter over quarter employment growth. But during the second half of 2023, the level of the employment outlook index is consistent with a decline of employment between 0.1 or 0.2% quarter over quarter.
Thus far, however, companies appear to have refrained from a more significant rebalancing of their payroll. Perhaps the demographic challenges and the fact that short shift employment schemes are now a well-established tool to fight cyclical weakness makes it relatively attractive to engage in some form of labor hoarding.
Yeah, this said, one cannot rule out a more significant rebalancing of the labor market. In fact, a full rebalancing that aligns employment with the level of economic activity that we currently see based on pre-pandemic productivity levels would give rise to an employment decline of around 3%. So that's a huge number. If this were to happen quickly, it would have significant macro implications. The accompanying rise in the unemployment rate, for example, would most likely lead to a moderation in wage growth and also bring down inflationary pressures. All in all, this is yet another risk factor to watch out for in the euro area.
Yep. To sum up, the strength of the labor market came at the right point in time. It was clearly a stabilizing factor given all these shocks we've seen. But as we try to explain, there's also a puzzling element, and that unfortunately implies a risk that this kind of employment miracle may not last and that we see a stronger downward adjustment of employment. This should not necessarily be the base case, but it's a risk worth monitoring. That's all for this week. And next week, as Klaus already said, we're going to talk with Lars Feld about the German debt brake.